This is one of our international podcasts, which we were able to record over Zoom. While commentating at the FAI World Championships for Four in Hands in September in Hungary, I met David Seri, who is the director of the National Stud Farm in Szilvaszrád, who were the hosts of the event. David is a fascinating person who has devoted himself to managing and expanding the stud farm, the breeding program, and the promotion of the horses, who are mainly Lipizzaners, who have long and illustrious bloodlines. As someone with strong military ties himself, David is proud of the stud and the breed's association with the Hungarian Hussars and cavalry, something which links the horses to the wider history of Europe, its politics, the grand families, and many conflicts. The stud farm is high up in the stunning Buk Mountains and was once home to a hunting castle. However, the current complex where the World Championships was held was built 6 years ago and dominates the town. We talk about fashions and horses and how David and his colleagues are doing all they can to ensure that the Lipizzaners have a future. We talk about hosting a high-profile event like a world championship and, in particular, the designs behind those wonderful marathon obstacles. Enjoy.
Hi, Sarah.
That's better.
Hi, nice to
That's
see you.
That's better. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you?
Yes. There's always that moment of disbelief when you're not sure if it's really going to work, the grand plan. The sooner have I got him and he's gone again.
Okay, now I am ready. Thank you.
Now you're ready. So are you in your office in that beautiful yellow building down the road from the stadium?
Yeah. At the old yellow castle. Where our office is located.
Yeah, because that's quite an iconic building. That's the one that was what I had in my head, because when I came to the World Championships, it was my first visit to you. And there was something about that building with the forest in the background and your beautiful white horses in front. It really is quite symbolic of what you're representing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all around the village, everywhere, the part of the national stars. Yeah.
Yes, because at one end, there's the actual, some of the older buildings, and then there's the newer bit next to the stadium. Where is everything divided sort of across the, well, there's the road that goes down the middle, and then you're at either end, aren't you?
Yeah. It's because some part of the studies is very historical, with historical buildings from the Austrian monarchy era. And of course, well located, the World Championship is quite new. It's 6 years old, the new equestrian center.
Well, it looks like a football stadium. That's the impression you get when you drop down the hill for the first time into, and I'm going to go for it, Szilvaszrád. Hope that was okay, because there were lots of versions of that on the commentary during the World Championship. Because the name, somebody was telling me, means something to do with plums, the fruit plums in a castle or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It stands for.
Yeah, Szilvas is in Hungarian. It's plum. It's plum. It's you know very well. And Vár is castle, because today you can see, but during the medieval times, here was a hunting castle for one of our famous King Béla. Sometimes traveled here for hunting, and maybe that's why origin this name from the village.
So what came first, your association with the army, with being reserve captain, or your love for the breed, or running the stud? What was the first involvement with the state stud?
So my connection and our connection with the army, it's quite interesting, I think, because you know, the Hungarian cavalry, the Hussars, are one of the most famous in the history, especially because after our revolutions, especially after 1711 and 1849, many general and officer needed to move from Hungary, move to France, to England, to to Denmark, and in this country is established cavalry units. Maybe the most famous are in France, the Bercheny and the Esterházy Regiment, and that's why the uniform are very similar. If you seen like in England from the king's troops, or seen our uniform, my height, or on the French cavalry uniform is very, very similar, but originally came from Hungary.
That's interesting. So obviously coming with the origins from the Habsburg Empire and the geopolitics, I mentioned it quite a lot in the commentary, because you seem to be in Hungary just in the crosswinds of so much is what's happening between East and West on top of your own national
and at times, especially in the 80s, 90th century, we had one of the best army horses, and that's why was world famous, the Hungarian Hussar units, and that's why could establish any regiments around the world. Like we had an anniversary a little bit earlier, because Mihály Kovács traveled to the USA during the independent war, and he was established the US cavalry, and then the US Congress, you can see a big paint about the Battle of Philadelphia when he was died. So that's the reason why these cavalry uniforms are very similar. And after this historical moments and days, after the Second World War, conquered the Hungarian cavalry unit, and just in 2020 was the date when we have established in Szilvásvárad, especially with Lipizzaner horse, and now these units working in the state protocol, especially in Budakaszu. So everybody who is coming to our president or prime minister can see our Lipizzaner horses with the hussars, and that's the reason why I am a captain. I am the member also of this regiment, and I had nice memories and opportunities to see how it's working, especially in England. I could ride more than 1 week at the Household Cavalry 2 years ago, and also at the King's Troops, and I was in this February in Melton Mowbray at the Animal Training Center. So we had a very good connection with England also in this reason.
Well, I think you're coming over very soon. We can't give too much away, because there's a little secret, isn't there, about why you're coming over to London, but that might be revealed after your meetings. But we're really excited that you're coming over for the London International Horse Show, which is just fantastic, very festive. All the Christmas trees will be up, and it's a great party. So coming back to the history of the Lipizzaner, because that's really what you and I are quite passionate about. You do it professionally. I get to talk about them. When the Hussars, and you're talking about these important dates for Hungary and the history of the army, was it Lipizzaners or origins thereof, of the modern breed, that were being used in the combats?
Yes, so we are very proud, because Lipizzaners, the breed, is one of the oldest breed in our heritage. So it's I think just the purebred Arabian horses are older, like the Lipizzaners, because the mother stud established in 1580 during the era of the Habsburg Empire, and to Hungary moved the first horses during the Napoleonic Wars in 1809 to Mezőhegyes, because the French army wanted to attack Vienna, and that was not really far, the Lipizzaner stud, and that's why needed to move to the eastern part of the Hungarian kingdom. And after the war, about the half of the population of the horses stayed in Hungary, And that's the date when we started the history of the Hungarian Lipizzaners. And I sometimes say it's a luck or God save horses, because if we see needed to move to every 30 years all of the horses, like firstly in 1870 needed to move to the Transylvanian part, because the territory, the area of Mezőhegyes was quite different like Lipica, because it was a very flat place and with rich agriculture, and the style of the horses started to change, and that's why moved to Transylvania to Fogaras, which location was very similar like next to Trieste, and stayed the horses here until the beginning of the First World War. And because the war needed to move again the horses to Bábolna, to the western part of Hungary, and the situation was the same. The land was very similar like Mezőhegyes, and they looked the new location for the horses, but can't find because the Second World War, and again the Soviet army moved all of the Hungarian national stuff to Germany, to Bavaria, with the help of Prince Leopold, and that's why saved all these horses the war. And in the last year of the war, when came the U.S. Army, which captured this territory, came George Patton General, and he saved the Hungarian horses, many hundreds of Hungarian horses, because he was a really horseman, and he was also a cavalry officer, and that's why he helped a lot for the Hungarian officers with the horses. But after when he was died, came another general, Major Owens, and he transported hundreds of Hungarian horses to the USA, and that's why just about the 60 or 65% of the Hungarian horses moved back to Hungary in 46 to Bábolna, and finally in 52 moved the Lipizzaner horses to Szilvasváros. So that's the last 71 years where could living in peace. This horse is the longest time in our history, so we hope stay in this peace, our beloved horses. So that's the short history of the Lipizzaners, but I think that's very important. That's incredible. A big luck.
Yeah, as you say, it's luck, and it makes you feel quite nervous at the thought of how close it was to being wiped out, to the horses being slaughtered for meat, for consumption, to be considered not relevant anymore under communist rule. And so you've got this cross-pollination from the horses coming from Lipica, the original, as you say, Trieste, which was Yugoslavia, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Then they go to Transylvania, which is in modern-day Romania, and then to Germany, to America. And I mean, this great big trip around the globe. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, so maybe it's just a destiny. If you see the history of the Vienna Spanish Riding School and the had a very similar Royal Riding School in Budapest, and also General Patton saved the Austrian horses. But the Hungarian riding school has not the same luck, and they defeat on the road to the west. So that's our another mission. Like today with the Hussars, we try to rebuilding the Royal Hungarian Riding School. So I think we are on a good way for this, and I hope in the next years we can ride again together with the Spanish Riding School Vienna, like was in the 30s or earlier.
That's incredible. I mean, how exciting for those of us that are certainly in this country as a little girl, my first knowledge of the Lipizzana breed. And I remember used to find it really amazing that they weren't Spanish horses and that they were also in Vienna. You know, the understanding from a young age of just where these horses are coming from and how Vienna ended up really for the focus and the introduction for most people to the Lipizzana breed. And is there still the building? Have you still got the complex in Budapest that you could go back to using, or would you be building a new complex to house?
And about 5 years ago, rebuilt the building of the riding school, because during the war was bombed and destroyed all of the building. But 5 years ago, rebuilt it, and it's a very unique building of Budapest. So we are very happy.
And where is it? Is it on that central bit along the river where all the big castles and government buildings are? Is it a bit...
That's inside the castle of Buda. So it's a very, very unique place. And of course, the history of this city was started in the ancient Roman times.
And you mentioned the name of the original stud that begins with B, and you know what my command of Hungarian names is like. And it's interesting that you chose, the decision was to make, to keep with that B symbolism for the state stud, because now you're in the Book Mountains. It worked quite well, didn't it?
Yeah, so it's also historical because until the end of the Second War, used B with the Holy Hungarian crown, with the royal crown, but that times it came from Babolna, the B. And after
Babolna,
after the Second War, in the communist era, needed to get off the royal crown, but stayed the B, not after Babolna, after the Book Mountains, and stayed until this day. But 1 year ago, we got back the royal crown up to the B, so we are very happy, and it's we try to rebuild our history.
That's quite amazing. So the symbol that we were seeing time and time again, particularly around the obstacles on that incredible marathon, and I will ask you about those designs because they were like nothing else. But the crown on top, that's been a fairly recent addition to your symbolism at the stud, that you've got that back again.
Yeah, because for the Hungarian nation, the royal crown is very, very important, like in England. So in Hungary, the royal crown is much more like a symbol. It's like where located our crown at the House of Parliament. It's like a church for the Hungarians. So it's a very strong symbol for us.
All I can say, we come back to luck. You Hungarians are really lucky that you have the support of the state behind your buildings and your horses. It's not certainly with our new government here. This isn't happening in the UK. You know, it's very much more of a private enterprise with us. What is it like being in Hungary, keeping the politicians on side when you've got so many other things going on, and gosh, your borders are pretty hot places at the moment going east, aren't they? How do you manage, particularly in your job as director of the state stud, to keep the funding coming? How can you justify it nowadays?
Yeah, so it's quite different, and I think we are very happy because we have national state stud farms, not just the Lipizzaners. We have seven national stud farm for all of the Hungarian traditional breeds, and I think it's very important. So because you know, one side it's very useful if breeding the private breeders the breeds, but of course it depends on from the market, how it's going the market, and of course not everybody would like to buy Lipizzaner horses. Sometimes going well the business, sometimes not. But if not, it's a strong hide back the state, which push and help any time for the national stud. So I think it's very important, and helped also to organize the world championship, because it's quite expensive, and But luckily for the government, it's the sports and also the equestrian sports are very, very important. And we tried to work together. Also, we had an Olympic program because 30 years ago was the last Olympic in Atlanta when we had Hungarian riders. But luckily, we had an eventing in Paris. So I hope and we work all of the equestrian sports, the Olympic sports, to participate more Hungarians in Los Angeles. So we say we are equestrian nation, but the fact is we had just one bronze medal from Berlin, so it was quite sparse. So we try to work with the jumping team and the dressage team also for the next Olympics.
But it's beyond elite sport what you're doing, and this was very much one of the strong characteristics of the World Championships in September, was that it's part of the blood that runs through the veins of your people. I mean, when we went outside where the cameras were showing beyond the walls of the stadium, it was mobbed. I kept saying it was bigger than a Taylor Swift concert. There were so many people, and people were celebrating. People that big, it was like a big swarm of people. It was like Moses and people going down that valley in watching the obstacles, 20,000 people. How do you get that much support? These, I mean, we get them for badminton, say, that we do have a few sporting occasions over here, but driving wouldn't anything like, we do not get that level of support. I'm really envious of the secret that you have, or the support from everybody.
Yeah, I think how I can say, but I think somewhere the love of the horse is in the genetics of the Hungarians, of the Hungarian young men and old men. But Szilvasvárad is also a very special place for the Hungarian horse breeding and especially for the driving sport, because we had this year an anniversary after the World Championship of 1884, and many visitors who came for this event remembered when he was like 10 years old or 12 years old and wanted to visit again this World Championship, and that was a good feeling for me when I met many people who mentioned for me, I was there with my parents 4 years ago. I was with my wife on the honeymoon 4 years ago, and not just from Hungary, also from England, from Germany, and around Europe. So that was a good feeling, and I think that's why it was a very special World Championship in September.
Well, what was incredible was, I don't know what you do in Hungary and what's in your water, but nearly every single one of your gold medalists over the years, right from when FEI became the, you know, driving was a recognized FEI sport, in particular Laszlo Huash, they look fantastic. They're all in their 70s now, they're fit, they're well, and actually probably one of the most breathtaking things I've seen in driving for a very long time was Laszlo driving his four horses at breakneck speed to just the cheers of the crowd. What a guy.
Yeah, that was another special thing why was historical days during this World Championships, I think, because without one man, one driver, without Mr. Balint Mihály, everybody is in good condition and living, who was the member of the Hungarian team 4 years ago. And on the opening ceremony and on the show night on Friday, we have invited all of these ideas, these legends like György Bárdos, like László Juhász, Gábor Finta, and all day was driven few round a carousel, and for me was a very nice feeling, and also I think they was very, very, very happy, and never forget these days. So I think very important, if never forget our ideas, so And it's amazing. Like Giulio Ribardo, she show is also next to 80, or Laszlo Juhász, or Sándor Fülöp up to 80 and driving every day. So I think that's why amazing sport, the driving or any equestrian sports. If you are healthy, you can do it, and we could see. Otherwise, we got a small presentation for our youngest drivers on Friday, and we said they got the carriage from the olders. We got to the youngers, and that's for the symbolic moment. So we are very,
very
lucky.
Special. And the fact that they were treated like heroes by the public. The public knew who they were. They needed no introduction. And what was really amazing as a Brit and as somebody who my family drove in the same class as Prince Philip and all sorts of things. So we have this massive connection, the whole driving world, but for us as well. And he was just there. You very much felt that you had created this presence for him because the respect that the Hungarians had, that at a time when you were still under communist rule and the world was an even more divided place than it is now, he is a member of the British royal family, ignored the Iron Curtain, and he came back and he treated these people like equals. And that was very much part of the celebrations, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's why we wanted to remember also for the late Prince of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, because he was a big supporter of the not just the driving sport, especially also the Hungarian driving and the equestrian sport when he was the president of the FEI, because he had many Hungarian friends, and the first European organized in Budapest in 71, and that was the first sport event when could meet the riders from the western, from also from the eastern side. So that was the first event, and we could thank this just for Prince Philip, and of course that was the best for the sport because he was competed. And if you are discussing any people from this village, everybody remember these days when stayed here the prince. And the next year at the wall of our stallion stable where stayed the prince horses, we would like to get a memorable table about the prince and his days in 84.
Well, it was certainly very special. So, David, have you actually recovered from running a world championship? What is it like being the focus of it all, funding it, managing it, building the obstacles? Where do you even start?
Yes, so we have started preparing about 4 years ago, because more than 4 years, because we needed to build a new marathon course on another place well located before. And when I arrived here 5 years ago, will be in January, when I arrived here, there was no driving competitions in the last 10 years, and we needed to rebuilding also the competitions, and we had four driving shows before the world championships, and especially the last year we have invited the officials which came to the world championship, the technical delegate, the course designer, the main of the judge, and of course we've written down everything, and we try to do our best. And before September, maybe in July, also arrived a few officials to check the changes, but I think was everything right. And of course was not easy, because how we have discussed was a big success 4 years ago, and many people was remembered for this, and that was why was the organizing very hard to to work after this legendary riders and the organizers. But I hope it was done and okay.
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, we were very lucky. It was very hot, certainly on the trot up day. It was hot and there wasn't much wind, but then we had a little bit of a breeze. So we had beautiful blue skies and we had perfect settings. But the marathon was electric, something about that valley. But what really set it apart was the design of the obstacles. Where did all the sculptures come from? Who designed them? It was amazing.
Yeah. So I look after how was the marathon obstacles like 4 years ago or 30, and was a little bit different like today's, and I wanted to look back to the historical courses, and that's why I have I sent a request to Gábor Szőke, who is a world famous artist, made many sculpture and around the world, like in Atlanta, the big Falcon next to the rugby stadium, and in Samorin, the big one of the biggest horse statue in Europe, and otherwise he is a really fine horseman. He had horses and he understand this world, and together we have dreamed of looking like the marathon course, and during the 8 obstacles we wanted to show the previous world championships in the driving history, and that's why you could see in the and typical Brit English lions, like after the world championship of Ascot, or you could see in old Hungarian coaches or any other symbols from the different nations.
Yeah, we're trying to work out who the lady was, because you had this rather mysterious lady. We thought she was a goddess of driving or something, who was looking serenely over. It was a huge head, of sort of a maiden's head that you had as well. It really was. We weren't sure if she was anybody in particular or just somebody who's looking at it all.
Yeah, we have a, which you could see in the during also the cons, we had a big statue, and she was the daughter of King Béla, who was here not far on an old church. We had a 1,000 years old church on the next village at Béla Pátfalva, and when came the Mongolians, he came from the Mongolian army across this village, and stayed his daughter there, and that was a statue from his daughter, and he is a saint lady from our history.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was asking on the morning of the marathon, I kept saying to everybody, who is she? I've got to tell the world who she is, and nobody knew, so I'm glad we've cleared that one up. So you had Genghis Khan coming from the Mongolians. Jeez, there's a lot goes on in the Bug Mountains. David, back to the Lipizzaners themselves, because they really are the beating heart of your enterprise in Svilsvasvarad. How many have you got there? And you've got a mixture of the stallions and your young stock and your brood mares. How many have you got there at the moment?
Yeah, if I calculate well, at the moment we are the third biggest Lipizzaner stud around the world, or the fourth. It depends on, but at the moment we have 306 horses. That's the number of all horses, but we have 67 breeding mares and 18 breeding stallion at the moment we have, and we have 2 4 in hand team and 2 in hand team for driving. And I have at the moment 5 riders who competed in dressage until the Grand Prix level. And that's another equestrian sport, which is very important for us next to the driving, because for me, one of the most important to find the way of the Lipizzaner horses also in the 21st century. And of course, it's sometimes not easy because that's a historical breed, but otherwise we need to find a way for this breed. And the two ways, my opinion, is the driving and the dressage. And otherwise, my opinion, you could see in Spanish horses, Lusitano horses in the Olympics in Aachen in the dressage. And in my opinion, we can do the same with the Lipizzaner horses because it's relative breeds and very close to genetics. So, and I am very happy because 1 year ago, first time in the history of the breeds, in the Hungarian history of the breeds, we had a member in the Hungarian young team in the dressage European. So maybe we are in a good way, but otherwise driving is a little bit different because, you know, much better like me 15, 20 years ago, Lipizzaner foreign hand teams were more successful. And these days we try to do again this, but the truth is 20 years ago was the last time when we participated in world championship, and after we started again in 2021 in Budapest. So we had 20 years break, and we need to rebuild again. So that's our important mission. But my opinion, for the cones and the marathon Lipizzaner horses are excellent, can do like the Dutch or the German horses. We need to work more in the dressage, but otherwise in the history of the horse culture, every time you can find a fashion. And today, not the Baroque horses are the fashion 4 years ago was, 100 years ago was, but not today. But we work on this, so that's our mission.
Well, there are a number of reasons why the dressage tests have been rewritten, the FEI driving test. But there was some talk when we had the forum 18 months ago, the driving forum, was actually to try and enable, this is partly why there was talk about shortening the dressage arena for the foreign hands, was to give it a slightly more even playing field for, as you say, the Baroque type horses that just don't have this. It's just the length of leg, it's the conformation, it's the paces they produce. Do you find yourself using certain bloodlines to produce a more competitive all-round driving horse, or are you guys sticking quite rigidly to your overall heritage breeding programs?
So, of course, one of the most important here in Szilvásvárra to save the genetics of the Lipizzaner horses, but we try every horses, every mares, every stallion before breeding, and of course we try in the equestrian sports. And I changed the system 5 years ago because in the last 20 years, not really tried the breeding mares, just the stallions. But today we must be try also the mares, because it's sometimes more important, of course, like the stallions. And I think in the next years, and today also, you can find Lipizzaners which Lipizzaners looks more like not a sport horse, but between the Baroque and the sport horse, how looking like and how is the performance. So I think with good driver can be very successful. And if you see in Stuttgart or in London, the indoor competitions, you can see many, many Lipizzaners in the team, in the Chardon team, or also in Boyd, you can find black Lipizzaners. So that's why for marathon, it's excellent horses.
We know, and certainly, you know, certainly the Dobrovitzes and Glenn Geertz has just got a team of Lipizzaners. But there is this sort of funnel that they come out and then they find their jobs. And they certainly, a lot of the top drivers just say temperamentally for the indoor job. And one of the things that amazes me every time I look at a World Cup and talk about it or whatever, is how those horses can be racing and racing as fast as they can go round the course. And then 5 minutes later, they come in and they just stand. without twitching in those prize givings. And you need a very special brain on a horse to be able to do that. That's quite something to have the intelligence to know what the job is at that time. And that's all credit to the Lipizzaners, isn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes in the beginning need more time, you need to keep more calmer, but after a time they are very thankful, and up to 20 you can use. So you see in Boyd carriages up to 20, if I remember well, for these Lipizzaners. And one of my favorite example of the movie versus the Ferrari and the Ford, and at times in the 60s, 70s, nobody want to buy Ford cars. And that's why the head of the marketing need to winning the Le Mans race. And after when winning Le Mans race against the Ferrari, everybody wanted to buy Ford cars. And that's also with the horse breeds. If you win with an Oldenburger, everybody want to drive Oldenburger horses. If you win with Lipizzaners, that's the same.
The thing is that it's a bit more of a long-term prospect. You can go into a car showroom and buy a car, but the breeding, you know, you're looking at generations, and it's a minimum of a five-year project, isn't it, to get the mare in foal and make sure the foal arrives safely. And the great thing about where you are, the part of the world where you are, you've got some, it's quite hilly, which is really good for helping form the skeletal muscular strength for the young horses.
And of course, maybe you need to start again your work. So it's nobody know in the last hundreds of years what's the secret, but we try to do our best, of course.
And what are the predominant bloodlines? Because obviously you've got the sort of five or six really famous, Maestosis, Iglavi, all these. Which Tulipan, which obviously Neapolitano, which Conversano, they're all coming back to me. Which are the predominant bloodlines that you're using, or is it all a mixture?
We use all of the bloodlines, all eight, because you know, you can find six classical and two Hungarian line, the Tulipan and the Incitato. But it's interesting because if you ask a driver, a Hungarian driver with Lipizzaners are the best, say Incitato and Favori, or ask a Slovenian, say the Maestoso and the Napolitano. But of course, the population is not too big, just about 10,000 Lipizzaners around the world. And it's you can't separate like 100 years ago the different bloodlines. So I say we need to try all of the horses, and after we can see. But if I say my team can find Conversanos and two Neapolitanos and Siglavio also.
That's fascinating. So when you're dealing with your horses, obviously you've got a lot there, as you say, nearly 300. The chances of the breeding becoming too close in the same bloodline shouldn't be that bad. But are you still talking to your fellow stud directors in the other countries? How much trading do you do between you with your mares and or your stallions?
So the system is in Szilvasvárad. We always wait to sell or try the horses until age of three, and it's very special. Sadly, it's very special in Europe and around the world, because here, when we separate the horses, of course the mares and the stallions is living separately, but living together until age of three. And after, just we check, and then we have discussed which horses will stay in the stud, or we have a famous horse auction and we sell. But for the Lipizzaner, is sometimes 3 years old Lipizzaners are very young, because sometimes 5 or 6 years old when we can see clearly how is this horse, because growing very slowly the Lipizzaner horses. But otherwise, how I mentioned, we use many horses up to 20. So the oldest Lipizzaners was here 32 years old, but I was visited the Austrian stud a few weeks ago, and I was met a 36 years old Lipizzaner. So it's So living quite long. And how I mentioned Austria, we have a very unique connection with the European Lipizzaner because all of the ex-Austro-Hungarian countries you can find the Lipizzaner Stadt, 8 Lipizzaner Stadts from Austria, Slovenia, Slovakia, Romania, also in Italy, and we had a strong connection. We worked together, like we changed the breeding animals, the mares, the stallions. We have participated our shows also with Kladruby nad Labem in Czech Republic. So I always say horses, especially the Lipizzaners, are the best diplomats, because sometimes the political situation between our country, especially in Middle Europe, is not easy, but always it's up to the politics, and we have always a good connection with the Serbian, with the Slovakians. So I think that's a very important part of our work.
I love that, the Lipizzaners as diplomats. In fact, I'll probably end up calling this podcast Diplomat. That's just lovely. And are you running your mares and stallions together or using artificial insemination? What's the main way of part of the breeding program?
In our breeding program, we use the artificial system, but we try to help the private breeders, and we send breeding stallions different part of the country of Hungary, and not just for Hungary, around Europe, and for 1 year, 2 years, and they use in the natural method. And that's so, yeah. So firstly, when we try to breed with a stallion, we use until 2 or 3 years. Every year we got more than 10 mares. And after a few years, we wait to grow up the foals, and until this time we send the horses to use the private breeders.
Yeah. And do you, obviously, as well as the breeding program, you must have a very big, we're not using the word breaking quite so much now in English with the connotations of that, but you must have quite a dedicated training program for the riding and the driving, because obviously you've got to give all these horses their jobs at some point if they're going to go off and either work.
And how I mentioned, we try under saddle and in harness all of the horses before sell or using in competing, and sometimes we try to competing in dressage with a horse. But I say in dressage will we stay in the middle level, not easy to step up for the Grand Prix level. And sometimes this horse we try in the carriage and in the carriages, especially in towing hand, it's world class. But sometimes we get from the carriage to the dressage. But firstly we use under saddle and after to carriage.
That concludes part one of our podcast, The Diplomat, with David Serry. I do hope you enjoyed it, and part two will follow very shortly.